Tonight's scripture reading will be taken from Ruth, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Ruth 1, 16 and 17. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you, or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." Please be seated.
Good evening. Hope you picked up a notes outline so that you can take notes as we've been going through each of these books, walking through the Bible. Tonight we find ourselves in the book of Ruth, and I had not turned on the monitor up here. Let me get so I can actually see. Go ahead and be turning to the book of Ruth. And before we get into the lesson itself, we'll take a moment. It's only four chapters, and it's very short. And I think you'll appreciate the information that is given as we have read the book of Ruth. And so, everybody open up. If you're not there yet, or you're on your tablet, that's fine. I'll be reading from the New King James. "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way and to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest in each, each in the house of her husband.' So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, 'Surely we will return with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me.' Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clung to her. And she said, 'Your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.' But Ruth said, 'Entreat me not to leave you, or to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people should be my people, your God my God. And wherever you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me.' When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. The two of them went until they had come to Bethlehem. And it happened, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. And so Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." And then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered to him, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Who is this, or whose young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." And so she came and has continued all from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here. Stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels, drink from what the young men have drawn." And she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of the bread in the vinegar." And so she sat beside the reapers and passed the parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept back some. When she had rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves. Do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And so she brought out and gave it to her, what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Ruth the Moabite has said, 'He also said to me, you shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, that the people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest. And so she dwelt with her mother-in-law. We'll stop there until we have gone through part of answering some of the questions here. We've introduced Naomi, Ruth. We've introduced Boaz as well. And so now, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, right? To answer the questions that we have, there it is. The name of Ruth actually means friend or satisfied. And we're going to notice, and I've told you this before and tried to show it in other books as well, how especially names of the Old Testament either come from part of the story or they themselves can sometimes tell the story. And I think we'll see tonight how the names of the characters that are in here actually tell the story somewhat. Ruth is named after its principal character, beloved grandmother of David the king. And so we're going to learn how that takes place. Frank Dunn wrote this in his work, Know Your Bible. The book of Ruth is a beautiful account in a rural setting of loyalty and love by which Ruth, a Moabitess, became the great-grandmother of David, and thus an ancestor of the royal family of Judah, and in turn, Jesus. And so that's going to lend itself to a little bit of the purpose, why we have this historical account of this family and what takes place with them. Who wrote it? Some will attribute the authorship to Hezekiah or Ezra, saying that it was written a little bit later in time. But the majority of commentators and scholars believe it to have been Samuel that wrote this. Samuel is the last of the judges. This happens during the days of the judges. And so this falls in that particular time frame. And so it lends itself that very likely this is Samuel who has written this historical account. As we'll see, at the very least, some of 1 and 2 Samuel and on. Adam Clark and others, including Jewish tradition, actually attribute the writing to Samuel. And so the Jews believe Samuel to have been the writer. Adam Clark wrote, as to the author, it is most likely the author of the two books of Samuel was also the writer of this little book, as it seems necessary to complete his plan of the history of David. And so, and I would certainly agree with that and believe that to be the case. Josephus is the one who gives us the Jewish tradition and considers Ruth to be part of the judges, and that Samuel is actually the author of it as well. When was it written? We know the setting of it is in the days when the judges ruled. If it is in fact Samuel, that it is in fact during that time period. I have on here the period of about 350 years, ending at about 1100 BC. It is thought that it is probably a little less, probably closer to 300 years, sometime between 315 and 330 years. But just in round numbers, you might say 300 to 350 years as far as the span of the period of the judges. And so if Samuel wrote it, then it would probably likely fall between 1100 and 1050 BC. That would give us an approximate date of the writing itself. To whom was it written? It was written to Israel. It was written as a record, a historical record. It is part of the historical books, those 12 books that fall into the history of Israel, telling us something about the lineage of David, clearly. And so that gets to the purpose a little bit. We find the lineage of Ruth to David. She is his great-grandmother. And we know that Jesus comes through that lineage as well, according to Matthew 1, verse 5. Some keys to understanding the book. Our key verses, we'll notice those here in just a moment. Key word and key phrase. Key words, the word kinsman redeemer, the word kinsman or near relation, depending on which translation you read. Some 13 times this individual is referred to, a near relation, a kinsman redeemer in particular, or from the Hebrew, goel. Another couple of words that are used pretty frequently in four chapters, love, faith, rest, and redemption. And then the key phrase comes from chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, and we will read that in the next slide here. The American Standard reads this way. It says, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee and to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Whether thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. Jehovah do to me, he says, or she says, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Her commitment to her mother-in-law. This passage has been the passage that has been used in numerous weddings as part of vows or as part of the sermonette prior to the vows, and talking about this great commitment that she makes. She could have gone back to, as Orpah did, going back to Moab or stayed in Moab, going back to her family, and maybe from there married again, done whatever at that point in time. But she decides she's not going to leave Naomi. And so in Naomi, Naomi finds a true daughter-in-law who is committed to her. And it is a beautiful, beautiful story. But those words have great application for us. And we think about those, obviously, in the application, thinking about family, thinking about the commitment to family. But even more so than that, thinking about the commitment to God. She says, your God will become my God. Now, what she has seen through Naomi, and no doubt through her husband who has now passed, she has seen the God of Israel in their lives. And that has left some kind of impression upon her, so much so that she says, your God will now be my God. And I just find that certainly impressive to think about that. The near kinsman or the kinsman redeemer from that phrase. I'm going to back up a slide here. The kinsman redeemer. Let me give you a couple of verses here. chapter 4. Notice verse 3. Then he said to the close relative Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. I will redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none but you to redeem it. And I am next after you. And he said, I will redeem it. So you have one of the responsibilities of the Goel or the kinsman redeemer was to redeem family property that maybe had been lost or was about to be lost, maybe because of, in this situation, a death in the family. And so the second responsibility was an obligation to marry the widow of the deceased near relatives so as to raise up children under the name of the dead, under the name of the deceased relative. And that's what we see also in chapter 4 and verse 5. Going back to keep your place here and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 25. All of this was given as precaution to take care of those families in that situation. You have Deuteronomy 25, and we'll begin in verse 5. If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, take her as his wife, and perform the duty of the husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn son which she bears will succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. But if the man does not want to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate of the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak to him. But if he stands firm and says, I do not want to take her, then his brother's wife shall come to him in the presence of the elders, remove the sandal from his foot, spit in his face, answer and say, so shall it be done to the man who will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel, the house of him who had his sandal removed. I don't know if you've read those verses before, but that is the second obligation that comes with the kinsman redeemer, or the goel in this case. And so, interesting, as the law takes care of those families in that way. And so we have, and I wanted to also add to that list of phrases, Ruth the Moabitess is used five times. And so clearly it is about her. Another key verse was Ruth 3 and verse 11. Now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And so I'm going to leave it up to you to read the rest of this, but let me give you a couple more pieces of information. The outline is just simply by chapter. You have, and this I believe came from the Nelson Study Bible, and some of you may have a copy of the Nelson Study Bible. You'll see this outline. Ruth's decision is chapter 1. Ruth's serving is chapter 2. Ruth's rest that she gains in chapter 3. And then Ruth's reward in chapter 4. Before we get too far, let me get another passage here, chapter 4, and you can add this to key verses as well. Sometimes I've got some separate notes written out here, and so I'm looking through my margin to make sure I don't miss anything. Chapter 4, verse 17, this is how the book ends. Let's read together. Let's just read from verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, she became his wife. When he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, she bore a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her bosom, and became a nurse to him. And the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Solomon. Solomon begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. And therefore, we find another set of verses that I think are key to this story and to the purpose of the book, is that, again, we find the lineage of David, which is the lineage of Christ, according to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. And so, main people. And this is where I told you that the names of either, like, for instance, Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the house of bread. You remember the fact that they had been in Moab. Their husbands had died. And then she hears word that there is actually bread in Israel. And they go literally to the house of bread, which is the city of Bethlehem. By the way, someone pretty famous was born in Bethlehem, that very Bethlehem of Ephratah. And so, according to Micah 5 and verse 2, Jesus was born there. You have Elimelech. He was the father, and his name means "My God is King." Naomi means beautiful. But you remember when she showed back up, she said, "Don't call me beautiful. The Lord has dealt bitterly with me." And so she changed her name. She said, "Call me Mara," which means bitter. You have Mahlon and Chilion. Those were the sons of Elimelech and Naomi. Mahlon means song. Chilion means perfection, something that we studied this morning, right? Ruth means friend, or one who has been satisfied. And then you have Boaz. And Boaz literally means strength. And when you think about the meanings of these names, the story of Ruth is reflected in each of these characters. And I think it's quite impressive to see that. to go to our last slide that I always try to end with, Christ, as found in the book of Ruth. Clearly he is identified as the lineage of David, and we have David's lineage that is identified here in chapter 4 and verse 17. And so Christ is part of that lineage, part of that royal family. Genesis 49 and verse 10, the scepter would not leave Judah. So this is of the lineage of Judah. And of course, David the king would serve, and all the kings that would serve in the southern kingdom or the kingdom of Judah would be of that same lineage very clearly. In chapter 4 and verse 14, we find Christ is our rest and our Redeemer. She finds rest. She finds redemption in Boaz. And so, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. We think about the story of Ruth. And as it begins, it's very tragic. But it is not unlike the story of many in this world today. And maybe not unlike your situation, your story, that has had tragedy in it. But look, Christ is our Redeemer. As Boaz was for Ruth, Christ is for us. And He provides rest and redemption for us as well. Through His plan of salvation, we can have salvation, we can be redeemed from our sins, and we can have a home with God forever, for eternity, and be in eternal blessings for the rest of our days. What a glorious thought we think about this story of Ruth as it presents to us the redemption that is in Christ. So this evening, if you have a need, one of encouragement, one to ask for prayer, one to make things right with God, or one to obey the gospel, you can come forward while we stand, while we sing.